Hi guys, big show, massive show. We had things.
So distracted because we're talking to a body modifier and next.
Look at his eyeballs,
Ask me anything. And Grant, you look, this guy's got two tongues. He's got two tongues, man.
This is hectic. Look at his bloody eyeballs. What would you do that for?
Oh, you know the things, the discs that they put in their lobe. I always think about, what about when you're 80?
I know. They're
dangling on your shoulder.
You can have surgery to have it rejoined.
Oh, not this guy, though. Look at that. Look how
they do still cut it off. And then
even that big? Jeez. All right. Well, that's good. I feel better for him now.
He's got a lot of followers on the Ethernet, so, you know, it'd be interesting to speak to him. But today we had a lot on Meghan Markle's father not going to the wedding.
Yeah, we had very sad. Samantha Markle has a lot to answer for, I think.
Yeah.
Kieran, our internet fixer, you'll hear this podcast is very early in. He's amazing.
Yeah,
if you have a problem, actually, maybe they could contact our Facebook page.
Good idea.
If you're a podcaster, we can fix podcasters' problems too.
Yep.
Just you'll hear the segment and then chime in.
I'm a fixer.
Fixing.
He sure is.
He's like a customer service bulldog. He can fight the fight for you, and he's amazing at it. Why wouldn't you?
We're amazed at because you and I don't know if Ed does. Grant and I don't like to send things back. We just accept our lot in life.
Mm-hmm. We don't complain.
Do you return and accept and return and complain?
Yeah, I'm a returner.
I am not.
Yeah, I'm a returner.
I just go, luck of the draw.
Remember we were out to dinner, Grant, and I was threatening that if the food wasn't arriving swiftly.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
I literally just slid down and hid under the table as he went the waiting staff.
Yeah, I get anxious. I get very anxious. Yeah.
Plenty in the podcast today.
Thanks, guys.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1. Today FM.
Well, it's very sad, actually. It's on every news you'll turn on this morning. Meghan Markle's father, of course, Thomas Markle Sr., was due to walk her down the aisle this Saturday. Mm-hmm. But in a turn of unfortunate events, he has, well, allegedly, we're hearing, had a heart attack 7 days ago.
Wow.
Discharged himself from the hospital because he really wanted to go to the wedding.
Yeah.
Then this story about the paparazzi photos being staged and him selling them has come out. And now we're hearing he was so embarrassed about that and he didn't want to bring any more embarrassment to his daughter that he is withdrawing from the wedding. Kensington Palace have come out and said, look, this is a very hard time for Meghan in the lead up to her wedding. Can you please respect her privacy? And this has been an extraordinary week. And surprise, surprise, it all boils down to one half-sister by the name of Samantha Markle.
Oh,
because it turns out she was the one who set up the paparazzi shots.
Samantha.
How do I know this? Have a listen.
I have to say I am entirely the culprit. As we know, the media can take very unflattering photographs of people, you know, at on their casual days and blow it way out of proportion. And I said, you know, the world has no idea that you're getting in shape. So I suggested it. And it was, there's a lot of scrutiny that it was money motivated. It was not.
You got $160,000.
That's a fair bit of money.
But we don't know if Samantha took that money.
We don't know
if he even knew what was going on.
No.
So I feel really sorry for Meghan because her dad, all the money and fame aside, she is still just a bride mm-hmm. who wants her dad to work her down the aisle. It doesn't matter that she's going to be a duchess and all those things. Her dad's now not going to be there. Now, let's remind ourselves of Samantha. Now, she is the sister, of course, who wrote the book, Diary of a Sister of Princess Pushy.
Oh.
But remember, this wasn't because Meghan was pushy.
No,
have a look.
I chose the title because I was more making a mockery of tabloids,
right.
who at one point called my sister Princess Pushy. The opposite is true. And so I thought, you know, to make fun of that and illustrate that she really is not, I'm going to choose that title and run with it. But it's so silly that the world sort of glommed onto that.
So silly.
Doing a favour.
You idiots.
I feel stupid.
You guys. And then not just Samantha, the whole family is behaving badly in the lead up to the wedding. Thomas Jr., of course, first wrote a letter saying, Harry, run. She is not good for you.
Yeah.
Then wrote another letter saying, please can I come to the wedding? I'm so sorry. Thomas Jr. was asked, why are you and Meghan even fighting?
Good call.
I didn't even know that we had a falling out.
Oh.
So I would like to see her again. Yeah, I want to give her a hug and tell her how proud I am of her. But, you know, Now I have to travel a really long way to do that.
Oh, yeah, it's a long way.
Ouch.
13-10-60, families behaving badly before weddings. Can you top these guys? Did your family just take it upon themselves to completely turn on each other in the lead up to the nuptials? Of course, we have our wedding dress party next Wednesday night, which now has a wedding to celebrate tomorrow. The royal wedding.
Sure
tomorrow night.
Yep.
Oh, my God, it's tomorrow night.
Yeah, mate.
If you want to come along, 13-10-60, tell us a story of your family going wild. Ed, you have an interesting family in-laws that you tell stories of. Were they well-behaved in the lead-up to your wedding? Was your young brother-in-law?
Oh, no. They were. Everyone was – in the lead-up to our wedding, it was pretty – it was all pretty hunky-dory.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I have no complaints at all about that. Trying to think if I do actually have complaints about what I can say. So I'm going to ring Samantha Markle and run some things by her. But 13-10-60, because this happens, Mr. Daniel.
It does.
We'll get to you in a moment. Families behaving badly in the lead up to the wedding. Mm. Who did what in the lead up to your big dates? Families behaving badly. Grant, Daniel, did you have a bit of this before your wedding?
Look, I think everyone has that kind of member in their family, don't they? Like someone drove a golf buggy through the hotel on our wedding on the night of, and went right through the foyer and then went down 40 stairs at the front of the hotel straight down.
Who was it?
I can't say who that was.
Yeah,
it was someone who's married to someone very close to me. So
who?
A sibling's partner did it.
Your brother-in-law?
Okay, let's stop right there. Not only that, like I had a cousin who attacked a wedding singer because he abused us for saying that we had a crap first dance song. He didn't like the fact that we chose Throw Your Arms Around Me, so my cousins let him have it because they said it's a breakup song. Why would you choose that, you stupid idiots? And then everyone fired up at him.
Jeez, where did you get married?
I love it, man. It's a Thunderdome.
Hamilton Island.
Of course you did.
Fantastic. No longer operational. So Kat from Penrith. Kat, who was...
Hey, guys.
Hello, mate.
Badly behaved family members pre-wedding.
So my sister actually decided to start planning her wedding and send save the date invites 2 weeks before I was due to get married.
No.
She was totally stealing your
posted
thunder.
It all over Facebook that, you know, she's picked a dress and she saved the date and all of that stuff and sent save the date invites out to like extended family and friends.
And when you confronted her about
thunder,
she's a thunder stealer. And when you confronted her about thunder stealing, what did she say?
Oh, she was just like, oh, okay, like nothing. And then she ceased like all her wedding planning until after I got married. Well,
good.
She's still
good,
doing
as
it,
she
but
should.
Just didn't tell everybody about it. And then once I got married, then she started like telling everybody and posting it on Facebook and all that type of stuff.
You showed her. I love the cat says she ceased sending all wedding.
I know, that's so legal. That's so legal. We'd love to have you at our party, Kat, but also I'm going to give you a Lush gift pack well. Lush, beautiful Lush gift pack.
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow night, Kat, in your wedding dress. Can't wait.
Now, Araha from
Hi.
Liverpool. How are you?
What happened?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What family's behaving badly pre-wedding? Who markled it?
Oh, my sister and my mum markled it.
What happened?
Why?
They had a fight about... They just argued about the wedding and the catering, and my sister said my mum was getting too involved and blah, 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 blah. They had a fight. My sister said, if you come to the wedding, I'll call the police and have you taken away.
Oh, my God.
She uninvited her own mother to her own wedding?
She did, and it was horrible.
Did she follow through?
Yeah, what happened?
She did follow through. She did.
What?
Yeah.
Well, she came. Your mum came or she didn't come?
No, my mum didn't come.
Oh.
Does your sister regret that?
I have no idea. I think probably she does, but they still don't talk now.
Can we have all three of you at the wedding dress party tomorrow night?
Do you have enough security?
I don't think so. My mum won't be in the same room as her.
Oh, man.
Well, even better. We love that on radio.
Do you know what that tells you? That tells you if you are listening. Thank you for your story, Araha, because that tells you if you are planning a wedding right now and there are things that do get on other people's nerves, try and bury the hatchet before because it'll just keep going afterwards.
And those photos, when they do eventually make up, which hopefully they do, you shall always look back on her mum. Just like Megan will always look back and her dad will be missing from her wedding photo.
Yeah.
You don't get that back. I hope he changes his mind.
Yeah, same.
Stupid Samantha Markle. It's all her fault.
It is all her fault. A Bondi man, here's the headline. Bondi man wins Division 1 twice. He wins Lotto twice in 1 week. He's on the line. David, Well, congratulations.
Hi, guys. Thank you so, so much. Thank you.
David.
Listen to that voice.
Wow. First of all, welcome.
It's like a radio announcer's voice, isn't it?
Yeah. Hang on. Ooh.
Oh, it is, Joel. You belong on the AM dial talking about roundabouts and being mildly racist. David, how does one win the lottery twice? So you bought two separate tickets?
Yes, I did. Look, I bought an entry into last Monday's draw, and obviously I won that. And then I also...
What a phrase. Obviously I won that.
How much was that, Dave?
That was over $1 million.
Of course and you then, did. Yep.
Yeah. And yep. then I bought an entry into Saturday's draw from the same news agency. And I think I won just nearly 1.5.
Oh, my God. From the same joint.
The same place.
What was your reaction, mate? Could you just believe your luck? This is insane.
Well, look, obviously I was very shocked at winning it twice. And at the end of the day, God is looking after me, that's for sure, or someone is looking after me.
Hey, David, did you think, when you took the ticket, the second ticket back in, because you've gone to the same place down in Bondi, did you think, oh, no, hang on, it's the last ticket, they think they've won? Did you sort of, did you have that
moment?
Or did you know, oh, no, this is a separate win again?
No, I knew on Saturday night that I'd won because I've got the lottery app on my mobile, so I just scanned the ticket on the phone.
Oh. David, so you've won $1 million at the start of the week, and then you've gone, you know what, I'm going to buy another one. Mm. And then you're sitting in your house on Saturday night with your phone, and your numbers come in again. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do in that moment where you realize you're now in 1 week you've made $2.5 million? Like, did you call someone? Did you go for a drink? What do you do?
No, I just sat. To be honest, I just sat in peace and quiet by myself and just took it all in.
So
obviously, I told my immediate family members. Yeah.
No, that's what you don't do.
Yeah,
David.
No, first mistake.
That's what you don't do, mate.
What are you going to do with it all, mate? Are you going to be sensible, or are you just going to like go wild, like private jets and trips to Vegas and stuff?
Not at all. No, I'm going to be very cautious and very sensible with the winnings and have it all invested.
The only
thing I did do last week is I did treat myself to a new Mercedes convertible.
Congratulations. Yes.
Yes, yeah. I love that. Nice.
And so, David, can we get some statistics about you? Age?
I'm 44, recently divorced, so obviously I'm single now.
So are you looking for love in all the wrong places?
I don't want to get married again, that's for sure. Not at the moment.
Not now that I've got $2.5 million.
You wouldn't mind a nice lady? Yeah.
Absolutely, of course, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, stand by. We could do a what's the show where is there a millionaire one?
Oh, a millionaire matchmaker.
Millionaire matchmaker.
And that type of thing.
We could do that.
We could do that. So, David, before we do let you go, you are known as the Bondi Lotto winner, and you sound like a New Zealander, correct?
No, well, originally yes, but I've been here a long time. So,
can I tell you something? You are by far the richest Kiwi in Bondi of all time.
Not a backpacker.
You are it, mate. That is one title they can never take off you.
Can I just, David, ask you for everyone? Like, what's your secret?
How do you get them numbers?
What do you do?
Look, there's no secret. It just comes down to luck. the bottom line, it just comes down to luck.
Oh, sorry, Dave, one more thing. You're at work today, yeah? Because you must go to work every day, yeah?
No, I've actually been lucky enough where I haven't needed to work in about 5 years prior to this. So
you retired at 39 to concentrate on winning the lottery.
I wouldn't say to winning the lotto, but I'm just lucky enough where I do not need
to
work.
Good on you, mate.
Can you see the ocean from your house, David? Can you see the ocean from your house in Bondi?
Yeah, I can.
She's struggling.
David,
can you just do me a favour, mate? Can you just like get, with all this money you've just won, this is a dream of mine, can you just load it all into a bath and just lie in there and just send us a photo?
Oh, I just might be able to do that at some stage.
Yes, David. David, we're going to get your details because I really want to set you up with, I've got about 6 girls in mind, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
Gogsy, our newsreader, is the top of that list.
David, mate, lovely to talk to you. Congratulations, mate.
Thanks,
Listen,
mate. Well done.
Just very quickly, guys. There's a lot of publicity about this. It's not so much about the money. It's just so unusual that the same guy can win first division twice. In about 5 days.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's incredible. You've done something unintentionally brilliant. Like, well done.
Yeah, amazing.
And I mean, what are the odds of that? Yeah. You know, let's be honest.
Yeah. You should go out and buy another lottery ticket, to be honest.
Let's go. do you want to be in a syndicate with me, Dave?
we'll talk later, my friend.
All right. On you, David. Thanks, well played, David. Buddy.
Welcome, Naomi.
Hi, Naomi. Hello. Nice to have you with us.
The proactive approach is what really interested me. I have a 16-year-old, nearly 17-year-old daughter. All her friends are 17. And over the weekend, they had their Year 11 formal. And the kids just endure the formal for the AP. Just the after party, as you know, they call it the AP.
Yeah.
And that is just an excuse, from what I've seen, to get rotten drunk.
Absolutely.
And I've had an occasion where I had to pick up a girl who was not in Cella's friendship group, but I was leaving a venue and I didn't really know her. And she was throwing up and I put her in my car and I had to find out where she was, take her to her parents. And the parents didn't seem surprised. And so I'm in a situation where I had to explain to Marcella, I know that there's alcohol around you and I have been a 16-year-old girl and I know that there's drinking and it is my job to say to you, don't drink.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's illegal.
Yeah.
It's bad for your brain.
Yeah.
But Naomi, they're drinking.
Yeah.
So what do I do?
Okay. Well, I mean, the issue is obviously 16-year-olds, they all want to be adults very quickly. So you've got to have a proactive approach. Mm-hmm. If your group of teenagers are in the party group, then in most cases, it's actually better to actually have a managed bar system where they're going to a party where it's managed and you're compliant with legislation, secondary supply legislation, don't allow BYO because that's a cop-out.
That's what's happening, BYO.
Or it's a cop-out for lazy parents because they think it's outside the legislation.
And
but
they bring a note.
It fails. No, the note is irrelevant with the BYO. You don't
really
need it. Parents are doing it because it's a lazy approach, but they have to understand they still have a duty of care obligation.
Wow.
So you have a managed bar system, you have a 2-drink limit, and we've actually even we've used this system in many of our events. We've seen a reduction in preloading and all the other ripple effects that go with it. Mm-hmm. Walking home alone, don't get me started on kids that never make it to parties. So we've seen a reduction in those incidents. There's less kids that are preloading because they know, oh, they're going to be treated as adults. Mm. We have a qualified, experienced bartender. So not necessarily just with an RSA, they have to have the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then we set up the bar system. And that's, we have a water chaser system that starts for after parties an hour after the party starts. So that's water shots. Even the first, probably after the 30 minutes the kids get there, a shot of water before they get their next drink, that system remains in place for the whole night. The reason why we do it is because we know kids don't self-administer, particularly with water, but if they want to drink, they'll drink the water. And what you'll find, there'll be a reduction in them drinking the alcohol by the end of the night, and there'll be a change in the mood.
See, you've blown my world apart with the notes don't count. Because every party she goes to, I have to write a note for her saying, like, my daughter at the moment isn't a big drinker because she has sport the next morning.
Yep. But which is great. And that's a good focus.
But there's all these girls are forging notes from their mothers.
Yeah. So in regards to the forging of notes, that's the flaw in the legislation.
Yeah.
You can only do what you do. You're not forensics.
Yeah.
One of your suggestions was register with the police, the party. What does that do? What does that offer?
Well, so what that means is then the police members are aware of it. I had a dad ring up 2 weeks ago on a Saturday morning. He was putting on a party on Saturday night, 160 16-year-olds in his backyard.
Oh my goodness.
Now, he didn't even have security. So I said, look, just with 160 kids, because of the risk and that age group, it's 4 security straight off the bat.
Yeah.
And I had to go and have a look at his property because that's what I do. And, of course, he didn't go ahead, but I rang the local police. In this case, it was Boroondara. And I said, are you aware that there is a party at this? No. Now, part of my obligation is I let them know because as an ex-member, I know what it's like going to a party that's
out of control.
You are
a former police officer, aren't you?
Correct.
Yes.
And,
okay.
And it's like going to a domestic. You just don't know what you're going to go
into. But also the now with Facebook invites.
Absolutely.
The party crashes that
absolutely.
Get another 100 kids.
Absolutely. So this is why you have that plan. And part of also what I do, actually go into schools and talk to kids and parents about practical planning.
Yeah.
Kids don't want a safe party. They want a great party.
That's
so
true.
I give them.
That is so true.
Ain't that the truth?
They don't care about safe.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
Yes.
So I give them the stories about what can happen. I mean, look, 3 weeks ago we had a 16th birthday. A young girl didn't make it to the party. She was left stranded by her friends in a park. She was unconscious. It took the paramedics 40 minutes to stabilise her.
Oh, my God.
Now, those parents of that child probably had no idea where she was. So it's a message to parents, make sure if your kids are going to someone's house, keep tabs on them.
Naomi Oakley is our guest. Her company is You Know Me Security, former police officer. We're talking about teenagers and drinking at parties and after parties and those things. If you have your own experience or if you have a question, now is your chance. 131060, Naomi is here. What have you done that's worked? Or perhaps you've seen something with your own kids at someone else's house that certainly hasn't worked. Sarah from Penrith, you have a question.
Hi, I'm a mother of three teenage children, and I think the idea of limiting the two drinks is great, but I just have a question about, you know, serving alcohol to underage children, like, as in your own home. Is that's one thing we've always said, we'll never have it in our own home because, you know, parents could be liable. Is that, or
so you're
like,
asking
illegal?
if it's illegal.
Yeah, is it illegal?
Yes.
With the secondary supply law in every state, as long as you have permission from the kids, the teenager's parents, whether it's by note or verbal, then you're permitted to do that. If they do not have permission, then yes, it is illegal.
Okay.
That's a good one. And okay. Thank you, Sarah. We have had a lot of calls coming in off the air about a similar sort of question about the peer pressure.
Absolutely.
So the peer pressure that starts as young as 13 or even younger, and what can you say
to your kids? Who wants to fit in?
Yeah, around that sort of thing.
This is what I was saying earlier. Alcohol is everywhere. I mean, they see, you know, their parents drink. I grew up with parents that drank almost every day, and I've made the choice not to have, you know, drink every day around my kids because I don't want them thinking that it's just a normal part of life. You have, you know, alcohol advertisements. You've got massive alcohol barns that are as big as shopping centres. So you have to make the choice whether your child, your teenager, is in that party crew or they aren't. Now, if they're in that party crew, you have to make the choice, okay, if they're having a party, they're going to a party, am I going to permit them to have a couple of drinks? Because then, as I said earlier, it can prevent the ripple effect of them taking on risky behaviour, such as, you know, sculling half a bottle of vodka or absinthe or whatever and wiping themselves out and then putting them at risk in, you know, obviously in harm's way for other things as well.
And that's just it. You've got to be clever too, don't you? Because kids can be very, very sneaky and can find ways around it.
We actually, with our parties, our 16th birthday parties, where it is a drive-in, we have a pretty very strict entry system. Our observation system, we have half a dozen chairs out the front. They have to sit there for 20 minutes if they're under the influence, and we have to get them to do different things.
Oh, it's like a party game.
It is like, you know, driving under the influence. We have to get them to walk a straight line and all these things before they gain entry, because if they collapse when they're in the party, it's your responsibility.
It's your responsibility. That's important.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Naomi Oakley, thank you so much. The company is called You Know Me, U, and then NOME. You
security,
can look them up on security. Yes, you can find them online. Thanks for your time
today. Thanks so much for having me in.
Thank you, Naomi.
Okay, bye-bye.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks.
Yes, we are at 12 past 8. It is time to get your hands on $10,000. Official game show host, Grant Daniel, who have you got for me?
You know what, Eduardo? We have Laura from George's Hall on the phone. Hi, Laura. How are you going today?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Are you ready to play today FM's Alpha Bucks and hopefully win a stack of cash?
Yes, Grant, yes.
What for? What are you going to put it towards, all this money?
Oh, well, I've got to take the kids on a holiday. I've got three, and then I'll pay some bills.
Yes.
So it'll be sensible, but we'll have fun.
Let's get it done. 30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter J for joy, okay? For each question you get right, you'll score $100 with the chance to win up to 10 grand. We must take the first answer. Can't use the same answer twice, and the adjudicator's word is final. Here we go, Laura. Your letter is J. Let's go. Name an item of clothing.
Jumper.
A brand of whiskey.
Jack Daniels.
A board game.
Jumanji.
Stand-up comedian.
Skip.
A sport.
Jumping.
Confectionery item.
Jelly beans.
Car brand.
Jaguar.
A song.
Skip.
A flower.
A flower. Pass.
Type of dance.
Jazz.
Stand up comedian.
Jim.
That was a good effort.
Couple of passes in there, but you know what? A total of $600 for you today, Laura. Nice work.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I'm also going to throw in a BeFit food pack as well. You got kids, hungry kids.
Yeah, they're yummy. Yeah.
You're going to have fun.
Enjoy
so
that.
That'll be nice for you as well. Chance to, take the night off from you and your partner cooking there. Sure. So good on you, Laura.
Fabulous. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant, Ned at todayfm.com.au.
Grant, Dan, you have a question around the Tooth Fairy.
How much is a tooth worth these days on the Tooth Fairy currency scheme? Because obviously there's been inflation since I was a kid.
Yes.
Used to be a gold coin. And what
did you get?
You got
a gold coin in the 80s.
I reckon I got a $2 coin.
That's good.
Felt pretty special.
Yeah.
Before that, though, did the Tooth Fairy, before the change to $2 and $1 coins,
mm-hmm.
did the Tooth Fairy used to leave the green $2 note and the brown $1 note?
Oh.
Or was it coin-based still?
Always coin-based for
me. So still then the top coin would have been 50 cents, so that the Tooth Fairy was carrying coin, the 50 cent
You're
coin.
Right. I remember a lot of kids got 50 cents.
Yeah. We used to get 50 cents.
There's a thing, though, that's called like the first tooth rule, which apparently, you know, her little classmates were talking about this, that apparently the first tooth is special. So there's like a special going rate for the Tooth Fairy, which I was not aware of.
Neither was I.
So then I was sort of discussing it with my wife. I wonder what she's going to bring. I wonder how much it's going to be. And I didn't want to falsely lead my daughter Sailor to have a certain expectation.
What is her expectation?
Well,
what's
the
going rate?
She doesn't know. She's got no concept of currency. So, this is like an open rule for us. But we didn't want her to go to school and feel different to the other kids.
So, does the Tooth Fairy bring Bitcoin these days?
I love that.
What did the Tooth Fairy do in your house, Em?
Well, the Tooth Fairy, she's still around, annoyingly enough, even though one of the children is 11.
Okay.
So, basically, if the Tooth Fairy's had a few rosés, the price tends to go up.
Right.
Sometimes the Tooth Fairy's a bit hungover and she forgets to take the tooth, so then there's the guilt money.
Come on.
And oftentimes it's just whatever the Tooth Fairy has in her wallet. Mm. So one year I remember she left a pineapple for Marcella.
A pineapple?
Whoa. Yeah.
Whoa.
A fitty.
Are
yeah.
you serious?
But she may have thought she was getting a tan out and it was dark.
Well, the Tooth Fairy works in the dark.
Sometimes
they're tough conditions.
Sometimes the Tooth Fairy makes mistakes because she's so tired from doing everything.
Are you sure that that's not setting up the child for then like a bit of
that's
to
important
be let
though.
Down come tooth number three, four and five? That's a tough benchmark to set.
Now you got to teach your kids about, the Tooth Fairy has to teach your kids about disappointment. That's very important lesson to learn.
Work. Well, yeah. Belinda from Winston Hills, what does the Tooth Fairy do at your place?
Good morning. Well, we have three kids in this household, so the Tooth Fairy worked out pretty quickly that will cost a lot of money. So the Tooth Fairy in our house only deals in gold coins.
Yeah, respect.
Yeah, good. Do you know
keeping
what
it traditional.
Do you think it's a bit creepy that she takes the teeth away to add to her tooth castle?
Not at all.
So she lives in a house made of baby teeth.
Yeah.
I always found that super creepy as a kid.
No, because she's doing an apartment block.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
she's
right. Yeah,
she's got a whole project underway.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
That's right.
I get it.
Tanya from Rudy Hill, what does the Tooth Fairy do at your house?
$5 for the first one, $2 for every tooth after, and hasn't actually decided if there's going to be anything for like a last tooth.
So, Tanya, you were aware of the first tooth dowry. You knew that that was a thing.
Yeah, pretty special thing. Ran in the family for a while.
Okay.
So with
I was not aware of this.
Yeah.
Comes the knowledge that it does happen.
Gotcha.
All right.
Thank you, Tanya.
There is a lot of anticipation leading up to the first tooth, so maybe it is a little bit more special and deserves a bit more fanfare.
I think the Tooth Fairy at the Denya House is probably going to do the dowry from what I'm hearing.
I would say so. Yeah, first tooth fairy.
And I hope the Tooth Fairy doesn't leave the Family Feud board game, because that would be a real disappointment. So, Franca from Croydon Park, let us know, what does the Tooth Fairy do at your place?
Well, for my daughter's two front teeth, he left $50 each.
Franco, are you Italian?
Wow. Yes, I am.
Yeah, see, my dad used to put notes, give the Tooth Fairy notes, and I would get notes as a kid.
Wow, the Tooth Fairy.
Italian Tooth Fairies are really generous.
No wonder the country's broke.
they are.
How much for the others, not front teeth?
Well, she's lost 12 teeth and she gets $20. now for the others.
Wow. That's not bad. Hey, Frank, could you mind if from now on if I just bring my daughter's teeth over to your house and put them under your pillow?
No worries.
Yeah, I'd be if I was your daughter, I'd be yanking my teeth out, adult ones as well. What a scheme.
Thank you, Franca. Why is Meghan Markle's father not attending the wedding now? Those
Hang
details
on.
In a moment.
Before, do you know what we went with?
What?
You know what the tooth fairy left for the very first?
What?
She left, and I thought it was twice as much as I thought, but she dropped a lobster. It was $20, which I thought was pretty generous for a first tooth.
That's massive.
Yeah, it was. And then you know what I did straight after that? Hey, Google, how many teeth does my daughter have?
Oh, because the tooth fairy's up.
This is 20. Okay, 20 times 20. Okay, good on you, tooth fairy. We can do this. Nice work. Thanks for stopping by the Denya household. We'll see you next year.
See you next year. This is odd for me because as the anchor of the show, I normally know the future.
You know everything.
Well, I don't know what's about to happen.
No, we've arranged a surprise guest for you. Now, he knows how much you enjoy his sport. We're going to bring him on. If you could just say hello, surprise guest.
Hello, mate.
Oh, I know that voice straight away.
Who is it?
That's Tim Cahill.
It is Tim Cahill.
No way. Hello, Tim Cahill.
Are you serious?
Of course.
Are you?
Yeah, I know that voice anywhere. You're my ringtone.
Wow.
Is this exciting? Did you do good?
Yeah.
All right, so before we get into it, to support the Socceroos, now, Tim, we're renaming Cal Texas to Cahill Tex. Is that right?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's an awesome tribute. I'm just happy, first of all, to be selected in the 26, and for Caltex to get behind our Socceroos and show support across Australia for their fans is just unbelievable.
That's great.
Yeah, and they've got Fansies, Ed, which I wanted to see you in. It's an exclusive 2018 Socceroos branded onesie by Caltex. Yeah. It's amazing. And the Sydney Cahill Tex store is going to be in North Ryde on the corner of Epping Road and Wicks Road.
Wow.
And will remain the Cahill Tex until the Socceroos World Cup campaign is over.
So the final.
We've got three Fansies to give away right now. 1060 if you would like one of these amazing onesies. But take it away, Eduardo.
No,
Grant and I are backing out. Tim Cahill's all yours.
Right, Timmy, let's get to it. Mate, congratulations. You're going to be going to Russia. You are going to be setting a record. This will be your fourth World Cup.
Yeah, going to go to Russia. We'll go to Turkey first, 26 of us, and the squad will be cut down to 23. So, you know, another box ticked. And looking forward to camp. You know, it's a big one, and I'm one of those guys that never really thinks too far ahead. But, you know, one box is ticked, and, you know, I'm just so happy. It's a massive moment for me as a footballer.
All right, Timmy, I've spoken, you've done some stuff with me and Santo Simonet over the years, and we're doing a show during the World Cup, so I've known you a little bit over the years, but I've never told you this before. This is my claim to fame with you. I'm going to take you back to 1995. And you're playing at Sydney Olympic. And you're playing at Sydney Olympic with my friend Michael Luciano, who I was at school with.
Oh, Luciano, yes.
Okay.
I know him, yes.
He's the guy that got me into soccer. And I came to training one day, and you were there with your brother, and I swapped a pair of tracksuit pants for a jumper with your brother in 1995.
Woo!
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Timmy,
I wonder who got the bad end of the deal there.
And in your book, Timmy, there's a picture of you and Michael standing there in that Sydney Olympic team all those years ago. I remember, Timmy, when I was at school, I would go with Michael to training in your games, and people even back then were saying, this is the kid. Cahill, this sort of skinny kid running around, that you were the kid that was going to make it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I remember Michael Luciano being like six-pack, you know, built. And I was this young kid, like, you know, just basically trying to keep up with him.
And look at you now. He doesn't have any Caltexes named after him, I can tell you.
May I ask a sport question?
Of course you can.
Timmy, recently, obviously, got done for rough conduct, which I'm here for. I love your passion. I love your spirit. Are we going to be seeing a little bit of that in Russia? I'm hoping you're going to be really pushing it to the edge.
I think for me, I always play with my heart on my sleeve. And, you know, always stay inside the rules of the game for the kids watching.
I love that.
You know, that won't be, or listening, that won't be happening in Russia for sure. I look forward to hopefully getting there and then producing when it counts in the big moments.
Timmy, this is the thing. I've been rewatching all of the World Cup finals
Have
since
you?
1970 in warming up to the tournament.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I'd love to be in your house right now.
My wife loves it, Tim. She loves it. So we're going to play. People keep asking me, you know, well, how are we going to go? How are we going to go? How are we going to go? It's safe to say that we get our team spirit is always one of the best at the World Cups. And Bert and our coach, Van Marwijk, we're going to be organised and we're going to give it a real crack, aren't we? We may not have the golden generation of players, but we are going to give it everything we got.
I think the biggest thing with the staff and the setup and being in camp for the Norway-Colombia game is their intentions to win and be prepared. And the thing is, each game will be different, so it means set up different. But this camp in Turkey is going to be pretty full on, you know, double sessions every day.
Yes.
And that's why there's 26 and three will be missing out. But normally in these sorts of camps, you know, last camp we lost a few players. Mm. And you've got to get through it, you know, physically and mentally, and for myself as well, and all the players. It's just about maintenance, preparation, and that's the thing. Van Bommel, the coach, they were part of, you know, some massive.
He played in the final. He played in the World Cup
exactly.
final.
Mm. Exactly. Exactly. So that's the mentality, and that's what we've got on our side. And as players, we've got to use that to the best of our ability. And for me, on or off the park, I'm always a leader and someone that's always selfless to drive the lads in and out of training. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
From swapping tracksuit pants in a car park to being the all-time leading goal scorer for Australia.
Yep.
Tim Cahill, www.caltex.com.au/fansy. Oh, mate,
there's 5,000 fansies to give away to, so get one before the first game.
It's a treat, mate. Can't wait to speak to you soon.
Thanks, Timmy.
No, thanks so much for the support, everyone. Really appreciate it. And thank you, Caltex, as well, for getting behind the Socceroos.
Good on you, mate. You're a good team player.
Good, Timmy.
He got the thank credit you. Away for
it.
Us.
I love him. See you, mate.
Thanks, Timmy.
Train Smokers at 7:54, 104.1 Today FM Breakfast. Time for this.
When Mimi falls apart, you easy. When Tay Tay gets in a fight with Kanye, when you click on Justin Bieber's dick pic, that's entertainment.
Now, starting off in some, look, it's a bit sad actually. Former swimming champ Jeff Hugel's wife, Sarah, has been arrested for allegedly stealing a pair of $2,500 leather pants from a Byron Bay boutique.
Oh,
now, she is accused of stealing the trousers from Island Luxe store and will face court in Byron Bay in June. Now, of course, in 2014, Sarah and Jeff were caught snorting cocaine at the Randwick races and charged with drug possession.
Oh.
So that's sad. I hope both of them are okay.
Yep.
Now, Rihanna was accosted on the red carpet by a reporter saying, you know, obviously you're invited to Prince Harry's wedding. Because, you know, you've met him once.
Weird.
Yeah, Rihanna had the same reaction.
Finally, real wedding is coming up. I know you met Harry in 2015. Mm-hmm.
Is that really coming up, like, soon or something?
It's in a week.
Oh, shoot. See, this is all... I need to stay on the internet more.
So you weren't invited? I was hoping that we would see Rihanna.
Why would you think I'm invited?
I don't know. You met him.
Okay, you met me. You think you're coming to my wedding?
Maybe.
Am I coming to yours?
I mean, you'll get the invite.
Oh, girl. Okay, well, then maybe I should feel away then.
So, Rihanna, strike her off the possible guest list.
Oh, that's it.
No. Okay, along with Megan's father, who's disinvited himself, but we'll be talking about that after 8 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds. This is my favourite sentence for today. Ryan Reynolds has surprised a Korean TV show by dressing up as a unicorn and singing Tomorrow from the musical Annie.
Yeah. What? Seems about right.
Yep. Why not? Have a listen. Pretty good.
It's not bad.
I'd turn my chair.
That's good singing.
Now, he was wearing a unicorn mask because this show, I want this show to come to Australia. Basically, famous K-pop singers dress up in strange costumes and sing, and the judge has to guess
who they are?
Which famous K-pop singer they are.
I've been waiting for this show.
How good is
it
that?
It feels like the logical extension of The Voice.
Yes. Yeah, it's called King of Mask.
King of Mask, of course it is.
And the judges had no idea it was Ryan until, I mean, why would you? And he took his mask off. And
it's
he
really
didn't,
good.
He didn't tell Blake Lively he was doing that, so that'll
That's really good.
That'd be good.
Really good. And we're trying to talk to people as close as we can to the royal wedding.
That was a directive we gave everyone who worked on this show. We want to be next door,
yes,
across the road, mm-hmm, in fact, from this wedding.
And we have that. May I present the general manager of the Duchess of Cambridge, oh, the most authentic UK pub in the entire UK, a pub that is so close, it's touching distance from St George's Chapel, where they're actually getting married. It's on the route, right on the route where the open-top carriage is going straight past.
Oh.
So we speak to the general manager of the Duchess of Cambridge. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Oh, Daniel, you must be at fever pitch. It is your grand final. Thank God for the location of your pub.
Oh, definitely. It's absolutely superb. The, you know, the excitement is really starting to build now. We've got quite a lot of things going on in the town and also in the pub. That and we're really looking forward to the weekend.
What have you got going on in the pub? What are your special occasions?
Oh, well, actually on the day, we've brewed a special wedding beer where we've brought British hops and American hops together to create a special ale for the wedding called Hoppy Ever After.
Oh, which, yes. That's wonderful.
Oh, wonderful.
Love it.
And what's it like on the streets right now? Is it starting to get pretty crazy? Are you noticing all the security changes and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. And there's quite a lot of police on the street at the moment. The roads haven't closed yet, but you know, and there is a lot of, and there is a high police presence at the moment. But the road closures come into operation on Thursday, so I know that they're shutting on Thursday for a rehearsal. There's going to be a full rehearsal, and then they shut. At the moment, it's 10 o'clock on Friday night until Sunday. So, it's
a
pretty
rehearsal.
Yeah, a rehearsal.
I didn't know that.
So, do they have like a carriage going past with sort of stand-ins and everything, Daniel?
Yes, certainly. It's what I've heard is there's going to be a full dress rehearsal on Thursday morning. There's going to be the whole procession, the horses, the carriages. Of course, Harry and Meghan aren't going to be there, but there'll be someone standing in for them.
I love that they do a rehearsal. And do you get to watch the rehearsal, Daniel? Do they shoo you out?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to be. I will be looking out the window, definitely.
What do you reckon the atmosphere is going to be like in your joint, mate, when this party really gets underway?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be good. We're trying to put a party on for, you know, a whole day experience for both the local customers that use us on a regular basis, also the people travelling into Windsor on the day, and also for the staff as well. So we've got live music, we've got an outdoor gin bar, and we've also got a DJ on the evening, and, you know, we're going to have a bespoke British-American menu on as well.
Oh, Daniel, I love effort. I love this kind of effort. But also, of course, Ed, as you would know, the FA Cup final is on this weekend.
Yes.
So, Daniel, are you acknowledging that as well?
Certainly, yeah. We're going to be showing the wedding in the morning over four screens. And then, you know, just in case it is raining. And then in the afternoon, we've got four screens showing the FA Cup final as well. Which should bring a lot of people in.
Is it the most British day of all time, Daniel?
It's going to be a tough one to beat.
You had a pretty good day at Waterloo that time, but this has got to beat that, surely.
Yeah, I would say it would be. Yeah, it's going to be very, we even got some afternoon tea as well, just before the FA Cup final, so it should be good.
I just love the crossover of the two crowds. That's incredible. Yeah. Well, Daniel, look, I'm sure it's going to be a big day for you, so thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
No problem at all. No, it's been great. Thank you very much.
This is Daniel, the general manager. Look them up online. It looks like if you're going to London, you've got to go out to the Duchess of Cambridge pub. It is right there, right next to the chapel where they're getting married, right on the route where the open top carriage is going to go past. It's going to be a great day. Good on you, Daniel.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
First things first, overnight, The Voice.
Yes. No, I was watched Grand Designs and fell asleep at 7:30. I am Grant's target audience. Yeah.
I saw the previous night where our looper performed and slightly stepped away from the desk. And I was very impressed with his vocal ability.
It's almost like I predicted this a week and a half ago.
You called it.
Last night, two dudes, don't know their names, don't know what team they were on.
Doesn't matter.
But Tiff and I were off the couch, fist pumping when they were banging out this one.
Yeah. Oh. That's big. I want you to show me. I want to know what love means. I've been waiting all my life. I know you can show me. That sounds like the same guy.
Two dudes. There's two different dudes singing.
They sound exactly the same.
Do you reckon? What do you think of that, though, Em?
Big Nice Get Votes, guys. That's the song. Kalia sung that.
Yep.
Yeah, and that well, tenor arena, I always think of singing that as well. But that's a big male tenor power ballad. If you want to show people you can sing and get some claps.
But that's what they should be doing on The Voice. Like right now, there are tradies in their cars just leaning over and bashing their mate.
100%. What? 100%.
Just grabbing him by the high vis vest.
I love you, man.
Come in, man. And then they just push each other away. And no one speaks of it again.
Yeah. Don't need to. Like,
no one saw it.
Speaking of our little secret. Speaking of voices,
huge.
You've been very modest, Ed Grant. I don't know if you know this, but Ed's actually the face of a huge campaign. I want to say face. The Voice. So I just noticed this.
Winner, winner.
Winner, winner.
Sorry, was that Ed? Can I have that again, please?
Winner, winner.
He's right. Winner, winner.
Winner, winner.
Winner, winner.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, guys.
Have something to tell us?
Red Rooster. Are back on board.
How does that fit in with TIFFXO?
And the thing is, TIFFXO is a beautiful system.
It's where you go after Red Rooster.
And I'm as an individual, lamb range, because when you think Red Rooster, you think lamb.
You do.
Winner, winner.
The lamb is back, and I'm fully on board here.
It's everything in moderation, isn't it?
Oh,
the lamb range is it's 80%. It's 80%.
80% lamb. Good
ninja. No, 1,000% lamb, and 20% naughty ninja. And this is in the naughty. This,
oh, this
unrelated
is
to TIFFXO because it is delicious. Delicious lamb range. I tell you.
And there's health benefits in letting yourself off the chain every now and then. Just having,
just
treating yourself. Oh, you're still on the chain.
No, yep. It's good stuff.
Okay.
Well, God, it's all right because we're all.
It's a winner, winner.
Yeah,
winner, winner.
Yeah, winner, winner. We should get some vouchers, some Red Rooster vouchers.
We need them now.
I love it. You and Tipper are a before and after situation.
Isn't it?
You're like the Booper version of each other. It's amazing.
We did it a couple of years ago, and I just thought that the lamb range has gone next level.
Guys, I want some lamb. Let's go to Red Rooster. Good idea.
You know what it is? It's supporting Australian farmers too, Ed. So good on you for that, mate.
And I tell you where you won't be hurt if you get on board with the...
Where
the,
won't you be hurt?
In the hip pocket.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
It's bloody...
Today FM's $100,000.
Beat the bomb.
Three minutes past seven. Here we go. Today FM's $100,000. Beat the bomb. And this morning we say hello to...
Jessica from Glenmore Park. Hi, Jess.
Hey, how are you?
Is it true that you share the royal wedding date?
I do. I feel like there's a lot of pressure on me.
So your big day's this Saturday.
It is indeed.
Ah, awesome.
Now, Jessie, you were all worried that your wedding's going to be beautiful, obviously, but some guests are going to be, distracted.
Oh, look, I'm quite disappointed. I'm going to miss it, to be honest.
You weren't to know. Okay, so how much are you looking for today?
Oh, I would love $1,500 to pay the last payment that's due.
Oh,
isn't that great?
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. The cash bomb's been loaded. All you need to do is yell stop before the bomb goes off. You do that, you take home the last cash amount revealed. But if the bomb beats you to it, then you do walk away empty-handed. Okay, Jess, does that all make sense? Are you ready to light the fuse?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Let's light the fuse.
$1,000. $1,100. $1,200. $1,300. $1,450.
Stop.
Stop. Oh. Well done. Oh, $1,450.
Yes. Last payment made, Jess.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. Grant Daniel's going to kick in the other $50. Well done.
Hey, have the best day this weekend. Congratulations. Enjoy the day of your
thank
life.
Thank you. Sorry, can I just quickly say, Em, I love all of you guys, but Em, I love you guys so much. I went to your show at the Opera House and we laughed, we cried. It was so good.
Oh, thanks, Jess. That's really kind. Thank you. I could have lent you the giant penis with your hands. You should have told me.
Oh, that would have been great. I'm sure my man would have loved it.
Oh, now, have a great day Saturday. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm not finished with you, Jess, because we do now have to see...
Where you would have gone.
Yeah, we have to see when the bomb was going to go off, okay?
Oh, no.
No, we do. I'm sorry. We have to. Here we go.
$1,650. $1,800. $2,000. $4,000.
Hey, you still got what you needed, Jess.
Look, I didn't want to be greedy, exactly. I want to share with everyone else.
Good girl.
Oh, look at you. Well played, Jess. Have a great day on Saturday. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Bye, Jessica.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed by downloading the Today FM app.
We have a useful member of our team that is going to be putting there.
Everyone's useful.
Yeah, but this gentleman is useful in a way that is... crucial in today's society because he knows how to work the internet for his and now your favour.
100%.
His name is Kieran. He's our internet guy and he has his own intro.
An online network called Internet. The information superhighway.
The Internet.
And so I fixed the problem.
I'm a fixer.
You are Kieran, the internet fixer.
Thanks for the intro.
Yeah. So basically, whenever any member of the team has a problem with a phone bill, a phone company, needs a holiday booked, needs to take on someone online, Kieran makes it his sole mission in life to win. And I don't recall ever seeing you lost. Now, everyone will remember Kieran from the great Uber Eats scam of 2018. Yep. Still going on that, aren't you?
Still living.
Still living off that. You really know how to crack the code for freebies, my man. I'm in awe of you.
Yeah, so you got you worked out that they were doing this weird thing last week. Let's not get back into it. But safe to say that you've eaten free from Uber Eats for how many nights in a row now?
This would be night 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, joke's on them. You've had takeout 12 nights in a row. How's your colon?
Let's not forget you signed up for a free trial at a gym. Mm. They sent you a nasty email. You interneted them. And what did you end up getting?
6 months free.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I need my phone flat out broke last week. The next day, one had arrived on Kieran's desk for me. He interneted Telstra.
This man is available.
Yeah, we want to rent him out to you guys.
For free.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a problem that's in and around things that's happened online, but it can be in your real world, you know, your phone, like Em said, your phone bill, someone's giving you grief. Yeah, if you got a complaint with a company.
Someone's been rude.
Yes.
Yep.
131060. Give us a call right now. Tell us what the problem is, who the problem is with, and we're going to sick our internet warrior Kieran on them.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we guarantee...
He's the fixer. He's like George Clooney, but nerdier.
Let Kieran get the results for you this time.
Kiz, is there anything you won't do?
No, I'm pretty open to everything.
Is there any company you won't scam something free from?
Nope.
I have
no affiliations.
13, 10, 60. Do you have a problem?
What do you need fixed?
Some online types that you need fixed. Let the internet fixer be your saviour. Credentials again. How many nights in a row are you eating free from an Uber Eats scam?
12. Tonight will be 13.
Yep.
Basically, if any problem in my life, I just said to him, I need the internet improved at my house. He's like, fine, I'll get it done today. Like, he honestly can take on anything. And to be honest, there's a few high-profile radio and comedic people who Kieran is still handling the businesses of that he no longer works with at the radio station.
I still get a text message every 2 years. Hey, my phone's up due for an upgrade. Can you do this?
rhymes with Tommy Schmittle.
Mate, that is ridiculous. You're going to start charging those clowns.
Yeah, all Tommy right. Little still uses his services.
That is unbelievable. Josh from Penrith. Josh, you're on the line with the internet fixer. What do you need?
My phone has a problem where the battery and the memory card have just kind of like started to fail. And my brother-in-law got a replacement phone from Apple, but they're refusing to replace mine.
Okay, Josh, how old's your phone?
Oh, it's like 2 years old.
Okay, is it still in contracts? Are you still in the contract now?
No, I'm no longer in the contract. I'm now with Aldi Mobile.
Okay, so the contract is finished or you've just decided to revert across?
Finished.
No, the contract finished.
Okay, cool. Okay, so what phone is it you've got? If it's 2 years old, it must be like a 6S?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, so a 6S is part of a recall by Apple. They will fix that for $40. If you go in, it will be $40. So the 6S had battery issues and they recalled all the batteries. You can go into store and just say, hey, it's a 6S. It's got a certain code. They should be able to fix it for $40.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, Joshy.
Yeah, what do you say to the fixer, Josh?
Thank you very much.
I'm a fixer.
Yeah, you are.
I love this.
Everybody else with a 6S has just heard that.
Yes.
And
if it's part of a certain code, they'd record a lot of batteries because they were failing. Gogsy did it the other week. Hers
our newsreader. Yep. So if you've got a 6S and the battery's failing, take it in, $40 fixed. You should have seen. Kieran went into awesome. like Rain Man-esque beautiful mind calculation mode.
Great.
Yeah.
Maddie from Penrith. All right, Maddie. You've got the internet fixer here. Who do you need him to take on?
I need you to take on Woolworths.
Well, a big one.
Generic supermarket.
Yep. A generic supermarket.
Could be anyone. May not be them.
Supermarket.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, I bought some muesli bars last week, and they got them home and realized they expired on the 1st of March. So, so 2 months out of date. I was like, yep, no worries. So I took them back thinking they had a fresh or free policy, thinking that they would refund me as well as give me a new product. And they were like, no, we just refund. And I'm like, well, what about my inconvenience? Yeah. So I want an inconvenience payout from a large supermarket.
You're like Mariah Carey. She wanted the same from Packer.
That's okay. Wonderful.
Yeah. So I've got two ways of working this. Did you take a photo of the product?
Ooh.
No.
Okay, did you get a receipt? Did you get a receipt at least?
Yes.
So have you still got the receipt and your return receipt as well?
I do. I've got both.
You got both? Cool. So what we'll do is take a photo of them. We'll give you my details off air.
Yeah.
I will email Woolies and we'll probably end up getting like a $10 to $15 voucher.
Yeah, they're amazing.
But the inconvenience is fine.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
We can't help your inconvenience, but we can get you muesli bars. And I know that particular big brand rhymes with... Cool Smiths.
They'll be on board.
They'll overcompensate.
They'll be fine. Yeah.
Maddie, you'll be swimming in muesli bars. Nice.
Yes.
You'll be
like,
that's what I need.
Yeah. Just send me the photos, though.
He's done it. He's a fixer.
I'm a fixer.
He's a fixer, all right.
That was incredible. People are going to be contacting todayfm.com.au.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to put this up. Kiz is going to solve problems for you guys like that.
Well done,
fixer. Thanks.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1. Today FM.